بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. So today is lesson number 59 in our series on commentary on أعلام السنة المنشورة of Sheikh Hafiz Al-Hakimi رحمه الله. In the previous lesson, we looked at a number of questions to do with paradise and hellfire and the fact that they are created and exist right now, and that they will never expire, they are eternal, and the inhabitants of paradise and hellfire respectively will abide therein forever. And there was some discussion about the views of certain scholars such as Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah and Ibn al-Qayyim regarding some positions regarding that issue. So some of the sheikhs, they discussed those issues. This brings us to question number 133. And this is another of the events of the Day of Judgment, which is after the people have entered into paradise. And this question is about seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawmul Qiyamah and in paradise in particular. So the Sheikh says, ما الدليل على أن المؤمنين يرون ربهم تبارك وتعالى في الدار الآخرة? What is the evidence that the believers will see their Lord, the Blessed and Exalted, in the abode of the hereafter? So the Sheikh Hafiz rahimahullah, he brings some evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah. So he says, قال الله تعالى وجوه يومئذ ناظرة إلى ربها ناظرة. Some faces on that day will be bright. Some faces that day will be bright, looking at their Lord. Looking at their Lord. This is in Surah Al-Qiyamah, Surah 75, verses 22 to 23. وقال تعالى الذين أحسنوا الحسنى وزيادة. To those who do good, there is good and something additional, and something else, something additional. And وقال تعالى في الكفار كلا إنهم عن ربهم يومئذ لمحجوبون. He, the Exalted, said regarding the kuffar, but no, indeed, they will be veiled on that day from their Lord. They will be veiled on that day from their Lord. So the Sheikh says, فَإِذَا حَجَبَ أَعْدَاءَهُ لَمْ يَحْجَبْ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ. So, meaning that, what's the evidence in this ayah? The evidence in this ayah is that if Allah Azawajal has veiled His enemies from seeing Him, this means that His allies and His friends are not veiled from seeing Him. So these are just some ayat. The first one is very clear. Some faces that day will be bright, looking at their Lord, very clear. And those who do good, for them there is good and something additional. I will come to this, inshallah, in the commentary. And this particular ayah, that those, meaning people of disbelief, they will be veiled from their Lord on that day. So this means that the believers will not be veiled from their Lord on that day. So these are some ayat. There are actually other ayat as well that establish that the believers will see their Lord on the Day of Judgment and in paradise. But from the ahadith that he brings is the hadith of Jarir bin Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, who said that we were sitting, kunna julusan ma'a Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fa nadhara ila al-qamar laylata arba'a ashara, we were sitting with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this was on a night, the 14th night of the month. He was looking at the moon, and he said, "Innakum satarawna rabbakum ayanan kama tarawna hadha." لا تضامون في رؤيته فإن استطعتم ألا تغلبوا على صلاة قبل طلوع الشمس وصلاة قبل غروبها فافعلوا. The meaning of which is, indeed you will see your Lord with your eyes, عيانا, you will see him with your eyes, just as you see this, meaning the moon, and you will have no problem in seeing it. You will not be competing with each other to see it. And if you are able to avoid the prayer before, like immediately before the rising of the sun or before the setting of the sun, then do so. Then do so. Meaning avoid prayer in these two times. The Shaykh goes on to say that in this hadith, when Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kama tarawna hadha," meaning as just as you see the moon. So here the Shaykh says, "Tashbihun lirru'yati birru'yati, la lilmar'i bilmar'i," meaning that in this hadith, when he says that just as you see the moon, in the same way you will see your Lord, the comparison here is not in the thing being seen, but it's in the way that it will be seen, right? So in other words, this is not a comparison as some of the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'attila, those people who deny and negate these attributes, they say, how can you believe in this hadith? Because in this hadith there's a resemblance between Allah and the moon. Astaghfirullah. This is the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila. And from their ignorance is that this hadith within it is not a comparison between Allah and the moon. It's a comparison in the sense that just as you are able to see the moon without any difficulty, and if there's a large number of people in the same place, they can all see the moon. They don't need to fight with each other and compete with each other to go and get, you know, to be able to see the moon, because it's apparent. So in the same way that you have no difficulty and problem seeing the moon on a clear night in the middle of the month, then in the same way you will have no difficulty in seeing your Lord. So the comparison, as the Shaykh says, تَشْبِيهٌ لِلرُّؤْيَةِ بِالرُّؤْيَةِ لَا لِلْمَرْءِ بِالْمَرْءِ. So the resemblance here is in the manner of seeing, not in the thing being seen. He gives another example which is similar to this. He says, كما أن قوله في حديث تكلم الله عز وجل بالوحي ضربت الملائكة بأجنحتها خدعانا لقوله كأنه سلسلة على صفوان. There's another hadith that speaks about when Allah speaks, the angels strike their wings, or they flutter their wings in submission to his speech, as if it is like chains being dragged on a rock. And so that, you know, that again, the Shaykh says here that here this resemblance is not in the thing being heard, but in the manner of it being heard. So just like, as you know, we are able to hear the dragging of chains on rocks and we have no problem or difficulty in perceiving that sound, then in the same way we had in this case, when Allah speaks, then in the same way the angels, they strike their wings and they submit to his speech, they hear his speech. So again, هذا تشبيه للسماع بالسماع لا للمسموع بالمسموع. This is a resemblance in the way or the ability to hear, not in the actual thing being heard. تعالى الله أن يشبهه في ذاته أو صفاته شيء من خلقه. Exalted is Allah from that anything of his that his essence or his attributes should resemble anything from his creation. وتنزه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يحمل شيء من كلامه على التشبيه. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is exonerated from that there should be anything in his speech that within which there is a tashbih, like resembling Allah to his creation. So there's nothing in what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in which there is a resemblance for Allah with his creation. This is a refutation of, once again, the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila and those who followed their path, because they claim that not only in the ahadith of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but even in the Quran, there is, if we leave it as it is, there is tashbih, there is tajseem, there is resemblance, resembling Allah with his creation, or likening Allah to a body. And this is false, because everything that the Messenger of Allah alayhi wasallam has described Allah with in authentic established narrations, it is the truth. It is, we are obliged to believe in it, and there's no likeness between it and the creation, even if we do not know the reality of that attribute. So the Sheikh goes on to say, وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ الْخَلْقِ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, that Allah's Messenger السلام, is the most knowledgeable of the creation of Allah the Mighty and Majestic. Likewise, he says in another hadith, وَفِي حَدِيثِ صُحَيْب عند مسلم, related by Muslim, the hadith of Suhaib, فَيَكْشِفُ الْحِجَابِ فَمَا أُعْطُوا شَيْئًا أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّظَرِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So, again, on the Day of Judgment, Allah will unveil, will remove the veil, and they, meaning the inhabitants of Paradise, will not be given anything more beloved to them than looking at their Lord, the Mighty and Majestic. Then the Messenger recited this ayah, alayhi salatu wasalam, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةً, to those who do good, there is good and something additional. So al-husna here, the good, is paradise, and the ziyada, something additional, is looking at the face of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then the Shaykh goes on to say, rahimahullah, وفي الباب أحاديث كثيرة صحيحة صريحة ذكرنا في شرح سلم الوصول 45 حديثا عن أكثر من 30 صحابيا ومن رد ذلك فقد كذب بالكتاب وبما أرسل الله به رسله وكان من الذين قال الله تعالى فيهم كلا إنهم عن ربهم يومئذ لمحجوبون. He then says, in this topic, there are many, many ahadith which are authentic and very clear. We have mentioned in our sharh explanation of Sulamul Wusul, this is one of the books of the Shaykh and its explanation, we've mentioned 45 hadiths from more than 30 companions. And whoever rejects that, he has denied the Quran and denied what Allah sent his messengers with, and he will be among those about whom Allah the Exalted said, but no, indeed, they shall be on that day veiled from their Lord. So meaning that those who deny that Allah will be seen, even though it is very clear in the Quran and in the Sunnah it is mutawatir, it has been narrated by so many companions that this hadith and the issue of the ru'ya, seeing Allah, is mutawatir. It has come by way of large scale, overwhelming transmission. It cannot be denied because it is so well known. And this is also mentioned by Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah in his book Hadiyul Arwah ila Bilad al-Afrah, a book in which he does the same thing. He systematically brings every hadith narrated by the companions, many of those ahadith, and then he says that roughly 30 companions have narrated these ahadith, and they are mutawatira. Then finally the Sheikh Hafidh, he says, نسأل الله تعالى العفو والعافية ويرزقنا لذة النظر إلى وجهه آمين. We ask Allah for pardon and for safety, and that He grants us the pleasure of looking at His face. Ameen. So this is the speech of Shaykh Hafiz Rahimahullah, and we'll start with the commentary of Shaykh Ahmed An-Najmi Rahimahullah. And he says that the meaning in the ayah, the first ayah, the meaning in the first ayah, معنى كونها ناظرة أي نظرة من النظرة التي هي الحسن والبهجة والرونق الذي يكون في أثر الذي يكون من أثر النعيم. So he first of all explains the word which is in the ayah, the first ayah that was mentioned, وجوه يومئذ ناظرة ناظرة. He says here ناظرة with a ضاد. This comes from the word nadira or nudra. This means beauty, radiance, like the appearance on the face, like it is a type of beauty and radiance. And it is from the effects of pleasure, from bliss. So when people have bliss and they have pleasure, then you see on their face radiance. Like it's illuminated, it is radiant, and that there's beauty and so on and so forth. The Shaykh goes on to say, وَلِذَٰلِكَ فَإِنَّهَا تُكْتَبُ بِالضَّاد. So here in the first ayah, it is with the ضَاد, نَاظِرَة, with ضَاد. As for the second ayah, إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَة, with a ضَا. He says, this is from another. Another, which is seeing, vision. And meaning that it means looking at their Lord. Looking at their Lord. The Shaykh goes on to say there are some people who interpret this verse here. Again, this is the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila. إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةً. They mean to say that this actually means not looking at their Lord. It means waiting to enter paradise. This is what this verse means. That's what they claim. And the Shaykh says, هَؤُلَاءِ تَفْسِيرُهُمْ بَاطِلِ. Their interpretation is batil. It is false. It is known to be false. Why? Because the Shaykh says, فَهُمْ قَدْ دَخَلُوا الْجَنَّةِ فَمَاذَا يَنْتَذِرُونَ بَعْدَ الْجَنَّةِ. So these people have already entered paradise. Right? This is addressed to the people of paradise. So if these people have already entered paradise, how can they be waiting for Allah to enter them into paradise? This is not true. However, لَكِنَّهُمْ يُرِيدُونَ أَن يَتَحَايَلُوا عَلَى الرُّؤْيَةِ. But these people, meaning these deviant innovators, they want to evade this issue of the believers seeing Allah. وَالْإِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. فَهُمْ يَقُولُونَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةً أَي مُنْتَظِرَةً. Right, so they say, looking at their Lord, it means waiting for their Lord. منتظرة. إلمن بأن سياق الآية لا يساعد على هذا المعنى. Even though the context of this verse doesn't even support this meaning. So you don't say, فلا يقال إلى ربها منتظرة. أو منتظرة فرج أو منتظرة منتظرة فرجه منتظرة رحمته منتظرة مغفرته وهكذا. Right? So this is not something that you actually say. And what this ayah means, where you say that they are waiting for his relief, they are waiting for his mercy, they are waiting for his forgiveness, and so they are waiting there. It does not mean that this means that they will see him. These types of things, when you say waiting for his relief, waiting for his mercy, waiting for his forgiveness, this is in the world. You say this in the life of the world. Right, when the believers anticipate and wait for these things from Allah, relief from a calamity, His mercy, His forgiveness. However, after they have entered paradise, then this speech is far off from the truth. Therefore, the Shaykh says, إِذَنْ قَدْ وَصَلُوا إِلَى مَا وَصَلُوا إِلَيْهِ لَكِنْ مِنْ تَمَامْ نَعِيمِهِمْ أَنَّهُمْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى وَجْهِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ بُكْرَةً وَعَشِيَّةً كما جاء في الحديث أن أعلى أهل الجنة من ينظرون إلى وجه الله بكرة وعشية. So he says, so these believers, they have reached where they've reached, meaning paradise, so they will eventually reach paradise. And this is after all of those events that we've been discussing in the previous lessons, starting from the, well, obviously the death of each person, which is his qiyamah, then the punishment and the bliss, and then the resurrection, and all the things that will happen in the stages of that resurrection, till the people cross the bridge, and then they settle the differences that they had in the disputes, and then they are allowed to enter to paradise. So these people have reached all of that. They've escaped the bridge, and they've escaped many of the things. These people will be looking at their Lord morning and evening, as occurs in the hadith. Indeed, the highest of the people of paradise are those who will be looking at Allah morning and evening. Morning and evening. Then the Shaykh goes on to say in the second verse that was discussed, that we mentioned, which is those who do good, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَى. He says, Al-Husna here in this ayah is Al-Jannah. Al-Jannah. To those who work righteousness or work good, there is good. Al-Husna. That is paradise. Waziyada, this is, he says, it is looking at the face of Allah subhanahu. And this is when Allah reveals himself to them. They will then be at ease. They will look at his face. They will not see anything having more bliss, which they will receive by way of looking at the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There will be nothing, there will be no bliss that equals the bliss of looking at the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the third verse that he mentioned, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى فِي الْكُفَّارِ كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَ إِذِلَّ مَحْجُوبُونَ. This is in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, verse number 15. But no, indeed, they will be from their Lord on that day veiled. So the Shaykh says, when he has veiled his himself from his enemies from seeing him, then he has not veiled his allies from seeing him. And in the hadith of Jarir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhu, the same hadith that we mentioned earlier on, that Sheikh Hafiz mentioned, indeed you will see your Lord with your eyes just as you see this, meaning the moon. You will not have any difficulty, or you will not compete with each other to see. And if you are able to avoid the prayer before the rising of the sun and before the setting, then do so. And that's a hadith reported by Bukhari and Muslim. And so the Shaykh comments on the hadith and he says, لَا تَضَامُونَ فِي رُؤْيَتِهِ, meaning that you will not have any problem, or that you will not in seeing, because this is not something hidden. If it's something hidden and obscure, and people want to go and see that thing, then they'll compete with each other, they will push each other, and they'll try to see the obscure thing. However, and the weak person will be thrown aside by the strong person, he will not see the thing. No, this is not the case. Just like we see the moon on a clear night, without there being any clouds, is there any person who has any difficulty? Does he need to compete with anybody? No. The Shaykh says, all of us can see the moon from his place. And likewise, he says, we shall see our Lord, inshallah. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us the pleasure of seeing his face. That, as occurs in another ayah, tadamun, la tadamun. Right, so there's two versions. One says, la tadamun. One says, la tadamun, with a shadda on the meme. So the meaning in this case is that you will not be competing with each other, because the vision is so very clear and apparent. So this is the end of what Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi rahimahullah he said. And then we have some speech from Sheikh Salih al-Sheikh regarding the ru'ya, and this is him commenting upon At-Tahawi's creed rahimahullah, where he speaks about the ru'ya. And so he brings us certain benefits regarding this belief also. So he says this issue of the ru'ya is from the great and mighty affairs of the Islamic belief. Right? So as we know, there are certain major symbols of our belief which distinguish us from the people of misguidance. From them is the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal is above His creation, above His throne. This is His ulu. We affirm His ulu because of the plentiful evidences in the Quran and the Sunnah. Likewise, we affirm that the Quran is Allah's speech. It is Allah's speech. That Allah speaks, He has the attribute of speech. And from His attribute of speech is the Quran. This is a major symbol of our belief, the belief of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. Likewise, the Ru'ya, seeing Allah Azza wa Jal on the Day of Judgment, is another symbol of the Muslim belief, of the belief of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. These became major issues, as we said, because some people influenced by the Greeks, by the Hindu philosophers, by the other types of Sabi'a, the Sabains and other people, they brought these ideas into the Muslim nation that, you know, we have to interpret the Quran and the Sunnah by way of philosophy in order to really understand. And this is how they began to speak, that we can't say Allah is above because it means He is in a place, and if He is in a place, that means He's occupying that space, and if He's occupying that space, then that means He must be a body, and all the rest of this nonsense. And they say the same thing about seeing Allah, right? So if we are going to see Allah, like the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila say, if you see Allah, that means you are seeing Him in a direction. And if He's in a direction, that means He must have a place. And if He has a place, it must mean that He's occupying that place or that space. And if He's occupying that place and that space, it must be a jism, must be a body. And so therefore, this means He must be created, right? So we have to deny the seeing Allah on the Day of Judgment. This is the philosophical reasoning. All of this is false. And this is why this issue and other issues, it became a major point in the books of Aqidah and on the speech of the tongues of the Salaf in the first century, in the second century. And the sects, the Jahmiyyah, Mu'tazila, this is what they were saying. Allah will not be seen. Allah does not speak. The Quran is not His speech. It is something created. Allah will not be seen in the hereafter. Allah does not have any attributes. This type of speech. And if you think about it, when these symbols of belief are erased, then along with it, many other things are erased as well. Right? So for example, if because the believers anticipate seeing their Lord as the greatest reward, as the greatest pleasure, if you now say, well, Allah will not be seen in the hereafter, then you remove that desire and that pursuit. The believers remove that desire and that pursuit, or it's removed from them. And so what happens is, in effect, is this is a type of you are weakening the strength of Iman, you are weakening the raghbah, you are weakening what's in the heart of the believer. And in essence, you are almost like it's promoting like a type of irja, where you don't give any value to the deeds, to righteous deeds, and you don't aspire to righteous deeds, and it just generally is a weakening of Iman. This is the effect that this type of thing has when you undermine these symbols of Islamic belief, right? It erodes a person's Iman, and it erodes many other things that go along with it, which in this case, in the issue of the Ru'ya, then what is a believer motivated by then, if this is a reward greater than even entering into paradise? It is the greatest reward, right? So if there's no motivation for that, because it doesn't exist according to the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila, so this weakens the resolve. And this is why these people who undermine the Islamic belief, the Jahmiyyah, the Mu'tazila, they have been described by scholars as they are like the highway robbers. They are like the highway robbers that wait on the roads and the paths. The highway robbers, they steal people's wealth. They hold them up and they steal people's wealth. These people, they sit on the path to Allah Azza wa Jal, the Siratul Mustaqim, As-Siratul Mustaqim, the straight path of Allah, and they rob the people of their iman. They strip them of their iman by saying Allah is not above His throne. Allah does not speak. The Quran is something created to speech of men. Allah will not be seen in the hereafter. Allah does not have any attributes such as mercy and being forgiving and being wise and so on and so forth. Right? So this is highway robbery. It is highway robbery of the worst type. And this is why, as we said, these are symbols of our belief and why they occur in the books of the Salaf, in the books of creed. So the Sheikh Salih al-Sheikh, Hafidhahullah, he says that وَرُؤْيَةُ اللَّهِ جَلَّ جَلَالُهُ فِي جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ هِيَ أَعْلَى مَا يَلْتَذُّ بِهِ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ. Seeing Allah, the lofty and majestic, in the bliss of paradise, it is the greatest of that by which the people of paradise will receive pleasure. So the people of paradise, their greatest pleasure, their greatest bliss, is seeing the face of Allah Azza wa Jal. And why? Because it is the extremity of beauty, and because in seeing Allah there is pleasure, and in seeing Allah there is al-ikram, there is honor for the believer, and because in seeing Allah there is salahul qalb, there is rectification of the heart. Why? Because بِرُؤْيَةِ مَحْبُوبِهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Why? Because the heart, the believer, is seeing his beloved, the most beloved, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in other words, it is also a rectification for the heart as well. So all of these, also all types of beauty to which people are attached to, then they are from the traces of the beauty of the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. Meaning that anything which is from the beauty that we see, it is from the traces, from the athar of the beauty of Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? You know, the Shaykh says, similar to, for example, when we see manifestations of mercy in Allah's creation, when we see the mother showing mercy to the child, and we see it in the animals, we see it in people, and we see other manifestations of mercy as well in the creation, where a person forgives another person. For example, you know, a person murders somebody, the family has the choice to either have retribution or to pay blood money or to let him off out of mercy, right? So they decide to forgive him out of mercy, right? This is a manifestation of mercy, and all the other manifestations of mercy, this is an athar from the athar of Allah being merciful, right? And in the same way, Allah being the most beautiful, having Jamal in all of His attributes, then likewise in the creation, that which we see beauty in all different things. We see beauty in what He created. We see beauty in all different ways. Then that is an athar from the athar of the beauty of Allah's attributes. The Shaykh says, وَكَذَلِكَ جَمَالُ الْحَقِّ عَزَّ وَجَلْ فِي ذَاتِهِ وصفاته وافعاله من جماله افاض على هذه الوجود فصارت الاشياء جميله لما افاد عليها عز وجل من جماله كما قال ابن القيم رحمه الله. So the same point, which is that the beauty of Allah, the truth in His essence, in His attributes, in His actions, from His beauty, that beauty is what then the traces of that, it passes on to this existence. So all things have beauty because they are from the beauty of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he quotes some poetry from Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, وَهُوَ الْجَمِيلُ عَلَى الْحَقِيقَةِ كَيْفَ لَا وَجَمَالُ سَائِرِ هَذِهِ الْأَكْوَانِ مِنْ بَعْدِ آثَارِ الْجَمِيلِ فَرَبُّهَا أَوْلَى وَأَجْدَرُ عِنْدَ ذِي الْعِرْفَانِ. He says, he is the beautiful in reality. How can it not be when the beauty of all of this creation, of this existence, is from some of the effects or from the traces of his beauty? So its Lord is more worthy of being beautiful, of having beauty. So the Sheikh says, every beauty and every beautiful thing, every jamal that anyone loves and aspires to and becomes attached to, from the beauty that is in the created things of the world, or any of the types of beauty, وَالتَّلَذُّذْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, and likewise all of the pleasures in paradise, then there is nothing that is greater compared to the ru'ya. Compared to the ru'ya. So, in other words, the ru'ya, the seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is greater than all of the, you know, the beauty that we see and experience in the life of this world, which itself is a trace from the traces of Allah's beauty, right? So the Shaykh then goes on to say, after mentioning all of this, that ولهذا قال بعض أهل العلم إن الرؤية لله عز وجل هي الغاية التي شمر إليها المشمرون. He says, for this reason, some of the people of knowledge have said, indeed, the ru'ya, seeing Allah Azza wa Jal, it is the end or the goal for which those who are diligent, meaning those who roll up their sleeves and get ready to work, it is that goal that those people pursue. So, before we go any further, I just want to make a point here about this issue of the Jamal of Allah and the Jamal of His attributes. That what we see in the creation is an athar from the athar of Allah's attribute of being al-Jamil and having Jamal. What we are mentioning here is different to what is said by the people of Wahdatul Wujud, right? The belief that all existence is one. There's only one existence. There's no creator and there's no created. There's only one existence. Everything is Allah. Everything that exists is Allah. What these people say is, they say that everything in creation and all of the attributes in the creation, from which is beauty and power and all the other things, that is the actual attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? This is Allah manifesting in His creation. Right? This is Him manifesting in His creation, and we can only know Him and see Him and feel Him and experience Him by the real and true attributes which are in the creation, because there's no creator and created. There's only the wujud. There's only existence. There isn't creator and created. There's only the wujud. It is one. It is Allah. It's the eternal. And we are all part of that existence. And my attributes and your attributes, when you have the attribute of speech, when you have the attribute of power, when you have the attribute of wisdom, when you have the attribute of beauty and whatever else, and speech and everything else, all of this, these are the actual attributes of Allah. Allah can only be known by a tangible existence, which is this existence. This is the language that they speak. This is their belief. This is their doctrine, their ideology. And it is the greatest kufr and shirk. This is greater kufr and shirk than the Yahud and the Nasara, because they don't say this, they don't believe this. The Christians say that Allah dwells within Isa alayhi salam, but they don't say he dwells in everything. And so this is greater kufr than that of the Yahud and the Nasara. And so we must distinguish between that and what is being mentioned here, that what we see in the world of certain attributes being manifested, such as we see mercy being manifested in people, among animals, we see beauty in people and what Allah created, you know, of the scenery and things. And likewise, we see manifestations of power, of quwwa, and all the other attributes. We say that these are a trace from the traces of Allah's attributes. They are not Allah's attributes. They are not synonymous with Allah's attributes. But these are the athar, these are the effects. Because Allah is beautiful, there is beauty in His creation. Because Allah is merciful, there is mercy in His creation. Because Allah is strong and power, has power, Allah is shadeed, and He has quwwa, He has strength and power, then in what He created, He has put strength and power. Right? That is a trace from the traces of His strength and His power. So this is how we speak. And this is distinguished from that kufri doctrine, that doctrine of disbelief, which is the doctrine of the people of the unity of existence. All existence is one. And this is the greatest type of kufr and shirk. So the Shaykh then goes on to say that given that paradise is the greatest goal of the servant, and that the highest reward and the greatest bliss in paradise is that the believers see their Lord, then we see in the ayah, we see in the verse, وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. So they will look at Ar-Rahman, and the faces will then acquire this beauty and this radiance and this goodness on their face. And he then goes on to say that he mentions the speech of At-Tahawi, وَالرُّؤْيَةُ حَقٌّ لِأَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. The vision, meaning seeing Allah, is true and real for the people of paradise. Meaning that the ru'ya is thabita. It is firmly established. It is a doubt. It is without any doubt. It is haqq la miryata fi. Right? It is true without any doubt therein. And it is true for the people of paradise. The people of paradise will see him and they will seek pleasure from that. Then At-Tahawi said, بِغَيْرِ إِحَاطَةٍ وَلَا كَيْفِيَّةٍ. He then defines or qualifies this vision, seeing of Allah. He says, it is without إِحَاطَةٍ وَلَا كَيْفِيَّةٍ. It is without encompassing. It is without encompassing, meaning encompassing Allah. Allah is too great to be encompassed by the vision of his servants. وَلَا كَيْفِيَّةٍ. And nor with the describing or explaining how it is, how it will take place. So the Shaykh says that he negated al-ihata. Al-ihata is encompassing, because it is not possible for us to encompass Allah with our vision. This occurs in an ayah in the Quran, in Surah Al-An'am, the sixth surah, verse 103. لَا تُدْرِكُهُ الْأَبْصَارُ وَهُوَ يُدْرِكُ الْأَبْصَارُ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Which means that the visions cannot encompass him, but he encompasses all visions. And he is اللطيف الخبير. He is the subtle, the all-aware. So seeing Allah is with the seeing of the eyes. However, it is not possible to encompass Allah with the vision. And he says, لَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. Just like we cannot encompass Allah's knowledge. No one can encompass Allah's knowledge. As he mentions the ayah, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. And they cannot encompass his knowledge. However, even though we cannot encompass all of Allah's knowledge, we have the asal of knowledge. This is an important point here. So the Shaykh is using this ayah to illustrate a point, right? Which is that in this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِهِ عِلْمًا. They do not encompass his knowledge. This does not mean that we do not have the asal of knowledge, right? Meaning that we have something of knowledge. We can know. We can know things. We are able to know things. And we have knowledge of what Allah revealed. We have knowledge of what Allah revealed about himself. We have knowledge of what Allah revealed about his law. We have knowledge of what Allah revealed about his own creation, things that he and his messenger informed us. So we have the asal of knowledge. But can we encompass all of knowledge? Can we encompass all of Allah's knowledge? No, impossible. But we have the asal of the ilm, but we do not have the completion and the perfection of ilm. So in the same way, using that as an example, in the same way when it comes to seeing Allah, then the asal, the foundation of seeing Allah is established, so we will see Allah. But as for the completion and perfection and the encompassing Allah with our vision, then that is not possible. We cannot do that. Just like it is impossible for us to encompass all of Allah's knowledge. Right? So that means that we will see Allah and the asal of the ru'ya is established. But what is being negated is al-ihata. Al-ihata. And this is in fact in relation to all of the attributes of Allah. Right? We cannot encompass all of the attributes of Allah. And in the same way we cannot encompass Allah by our vision. Then he said, وَلَا كَيْفِيَّةٍ وَلَا كَيْفِيَّةٍ بِغَيْرِ إِحَاطَةٍ وَلَا كَيْفِيَّةٍ. Meaning that we do not explain or try to define or try to give a kayf, like give a how, you know, how we will see Allah. But this is negated, and this seeing of Allah, it follows on from the principle regarding the attributes. Just as we do not know the reality of the attributes, because we do not know the reality of his essence, his being, then in the same way, the ru'ya, our seeing of Allah, we do not know the reality of that ayah, of that either. So the Shaykh goes on to say that in concluding this point, that a person seeing his Lord in paradise is a ru'ya that is not with ihata, it cannot be encompassed, and it does not have a kayf. Why? Because in the same way that Allah Azza wa Jal, when we say that he has ulu, that he is above his creation, above the throne, we don't know the reality of that. And just in the same way that Allah will be seen by the believers, we do not know the reality of that. And also because Allah Azza wa Jal, he will remove the veil. There's a veil that stops the creation from seeing him. This will be on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Again, we do not know the reality of that either. The veil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not know the reality of that. So this means that because we cannot imagine or conceive of these things in the mind, then فَرَبُّنَا أَعْلَى وَأَعْظَمْ مِمَّا يَدُرُوا فِي الذِّهِنِ أَوْ مِمَّا يَحُومُ عَلِيهِ الْمَخَاطِرِ أَوْ يَتَوَحَّمَهُ الْمُتَوَحِّمِ. So our Lord is greater and loftier than what may circulate in the minds of people, in the imaginations of people, or the thoughts that they might have, or the presumptions and the things that enter into their minds. So therefore, in concluding from this discussion, we affirm and establish the ru'ya, So in the asl, the foundation, we know that we will see our Lord. And without asking how this seeing will be, but it is a seeing with the eyes. It's not of the heart, as some people claim that you will see him with the heart. You will not actually see him, but you will see the heart. It's a vision of the heart. This is false, as the evidences will come shortly. And this is something that is mentioned clearly in the book. So then the Shaykh goes on to look at the ayat, وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. In this ayah, there is clear affirmation of seeing Allah, and that it is the faces that will see their Lord. It is the faces that will be radiant and bright, and it is the faces that will see their Lord. This is similar to the hadith in which the Messenger of Allah SWT, he said, نَظَّرَ اللَّهُ امْرَأً سَمِعَ مَقَالَتِي فَأَدَّاهَا كَمَا سَمِعَهَا. May Allah illuminate or make radiant a man who heard my speech, then he conveyed it exactly as he heard it. So here, this hadith mentions the radiance. He made dua that those who narrate and convey his ahadith, he made dua for them that Allah make their faces radiant and illuminate their faces. And so here, وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ. Faces will be radiant, they will be beautiful, and it is those same faces, إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ, looking towards their Lord. So the Shaykh says that from these two verses, there are a number of ways we can establish that Allah will be seen, and also refute the people of falsehood. So the first way, the first angle is very clear in this ayah, is because in this ayah Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. إِلَىٰ, he used the particle, the harf here, إِلَىٰ, إِلَىٰ. Now when you use the word إِلَىٰ, when you make a verb or an action, you make it transitive, متعدٍ, by way of this particle, إِلَىٰ, it can only mean the vision of the eye. Right? So meaning, grammatically speaking, it is impossible for this not to mean the seeing of the eye. Right? This is a falsification of what is claimed by the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila and others, that this means waiting for their Lord. Waiting for their Lord. This is impossible, because it says, إِلَىٰ, إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. It uses the preposition, إِلَىٰ, right? So, this is the first clear proof in the ayah. The second proof is, he says, أَنَّهُ جَعَلَ النَّظَرْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مُضَافًا إِلَىٰ الْوُجُوحِ. فَجَعَلَ الْوُجُوحِ هِيَ الَّتِي تَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا. Secondly, is that the looking at their Lord has been ascribed to the faces. The faces, right? We said, وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. It is the faces that are looking towards their Lord. And the position of seeing on the face is the eyes. So therefore, it must be the eyes. It must be a vision of the eyes, because it's been ascribed to the face. Like, it didn't say the chests or the breasts or anything like that. This is the second proof from the ayah. The third wajh, third angle, is that he said, وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ. وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ. Speaking about the first verse, that faces on that day will be bright and radiant and filled with happiness and joy and serene and so on and so forth. This only happens as a result of the vision, of actually seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because this is the ultimate bliss, it is the ultimate pleasure. This type of description would not be given if it was in relation to waiting, right? Meaning, upon the interpretation of the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila and their likes, as they claim that this verse means waiting for their Lord. So if the believers are waiting for their Lord, then how does this bring joy and radiance and illumination? How does this bring that effect on the faces? Right? This is not true. Rather, the effect on the faces of being radiant and having pleasure and having joy and so on and so forth, it is as a result of looking at their Lord, exactly as the ayah says, إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةً, looking at their Lord. So these angles make it very clear that this ayah can only mean, this is a clear proof that the believers will see their Lord on the Day of Judgment. And then the Shaykh goes on to say, قَالَ وَتَفْسِيرُهُ عَلَى مَا أَرَادَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَعَلِمَهُ. Right, so we've established now the belief that we will see our Lord on the Day of Judgment, that the believers will see their Lord. When I say we, I mean the believers in general. But as for us individually, we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to grant us that pleasure and that bliss of seeing His face. So the believers will see their Lord. And the asl of it is that He will be seen. But as for al-ihata and the kayfiyah, this is negated. We cannot encompass Allah in vision, and nor do we know exactly how that will be, but we know it will be the vision of the faces, the eyes, and we will see our Lord, we will see His face. Now, after this point, he says, At-Tahawi says, وَتَفْسِيرُهُ عَلَى مَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَعَلِمَهُ. And its explanation or its interpretation is upon whatever Allah intended or desired, and whatever He knew, whatever He knew in His knowledge regarding it. So here, what is meant by tafsir, the Shaykh goes on to say, one of two things can be intended, one of the two meanings of tafsir. It can mean, first of all, that we believe in the asl, we believe in the meaning of ru'ya. We know what that means. It means to see something. And when we negate al-ihata and kayfiyah, we negate that we will encompass Him in vision, and we negate how it will be, then this is... So basically, all of this collectively is the apparent meaning that becomes clear to us. When we say that we will see our Lord, it means what it says. We will see our Lord. Right? We will see our Lord. And this is what Allah intends. This is the meaning that Allah intends. It's not like what the Jahmiyyah say, that we will be waiting for our Lord. Or as the Ash'ari say, we believe that we will see Allah, but not in a direction. So what they are trying to do is they're trying to combine between the belief of Ahlul Sunnah, because the evidence is compelling that we will see our Lord from the Quran and the Sunnah, and then they try to merge it with what the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila say, and then they add something to it, but not in a direction. But this is impossible, because as Ibn Taymiyyah says, that all intelligent people from all factions, they are all agreed that to see something, then it has to be in a direction, otherwise you are not going to see that thing. So to say we will see Allah, we believe in the ru'ya, but not in a direction, then it means you're affirming it, then you're denying it. You're not believing it, right? So clearly, what is the murad, what is the intent of Allah in this? What is the tafsir? What is the meaning? The meaning is what is apparent in the Arabic language. That when it is said that the faces will be radiant and bright, looking at their Lord, it's exactly what it means. Looking at their Lord. That's the tafsir. That's the ma'na. That's the meaning. This is what Allah intended. As opposed to what is intended by the Jahmiyyah, the Mu'tazila and others, and the Ash'aris and others. And So this is one meaning of tafsir. And there's another meaning of tafsir, which is something that we'll finish in the next lesson because we've come to the end of our time. So what we'll do is we'll look at that discussion. In fact, let me finish this point off because it's two paragraphs, and then we'll move to a new section. So the other type of tafsir is with the meaning of tamamul ma'na. So let me just explain what's happening here. So when we use the word tafsir, here, when we say that we believe in the ru'ya of Allah, we believe that we will see Allah, but without making tafsir. Right? Without making any tafsir. What does this mean without making tafsir when we are negating tafsir? This is understood by the fact that tafsir can be two things. There can be two levels. One is the very apparent and clear meaning, the asl of the meaning, which is we are told that we will see our Lord. Right? This is apparent in the language. This is the tafsir of the ma'na, right? This is the asl of the meaning. But then there is the completion and the perfection of the meaning. This now is the tamamul ma'na, what we call the tamamul ma'na, and the kayfiyah, right? This is something that is not possible for us to explain and to interpret, right? So this tafsir is denied and negated. This is how we understand when the scholars say that we believe in this without tafsir. We believe in this without ta'wil. Right, without any further interpretation. We believe in this without ma'na, without adding a meaning. What do they mean by all of these phrases? They don't mean to deny the asl of the meaning. The asl of the meaning here in this ayah is that we will see our Lord with the vision of our eyes, and we will look at our Lord, or the believers will look at their Lord. Right? This is apparent from this is tafsir, basic tafsir, this is what Allah intended to convey to His servants. But then beyond that, there's another level of tafsir, which is the perfection and the completion of the meaning, which includes the kayfiyah, which is how will Allah be seen? What is the nature of that seeing? All of the specifics. We don't know. Right? So when you see in the language of the scholars where they say that we believe such and such, that our Lord will be seen, and they say bila kayf wala ma'na, or bila tafsir, where they say without any meaning, without asking how, without any tafsir, they don't mean to say that there is no meaning to begin with in its foundation. There is a meaning, but they are speaking of the perfection of the meaning and explaining about the kayfiyah and the haqiqah, the reality and how it is. This is what they are negating, right? So this is what the Shaykh means, that the second level of tafsir is that tamamul ma'na wal kayfiyah, and this is not known except by Allah Azza wa Jal. وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَعْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, as Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Ali Imran, none knows its ta'wil, interpretation, except for Allah. So therefore, that the explanation of the ru'ya, of looking at Allah, the tafsir, with the meaning of what is its reality, no one can know that. No one has that knowledge. But as for the asl of the meaning, the foundational meaning, that we will look at our Lord, then this is the tafsir of the ayah. It is the interpretation, the clear apparent interpretation of the ayah. So the Shaykh mentioned that point just to make that clear. Inshallah, we'll stop our lesson there. We'll continue. There's still some discussion left, inshallah. We'll take that up in the next lesson. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.